and all that he has done for us. And if you keep studying the Word of God, if you keep searching and seeking after him, you will know. You will know if you follow on to know the Lord. If you begin to set your heart to seek him, you'll find him when you'll search for him with all of your heart. You will find the Lord. Tonight we have a great hope. We have a hope in the Lord. God has not forgotten us. God told Abraham that in thee, that's in Genesis, right? Would all nation of the earth be blessed? What chapter is that when God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, and that he would bless all nations in Abraham, and how also Abraham would become an exceeding great nation. Is that the 17th chapter? Look at that 17th chapter of Genesis. When started verse 1, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, remember? Oh, Abraham was called out, and God promised him that that he would bless them. 17 verse 1, Abraham was called out, and when in verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, that's 100 years old. The Lord appeared to Abraham. You know, and sometimes you want to give up at 50. But the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Underline that. He said that I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. There's no getting away from that. You need a church. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And Abraham fell on his face, and God, notice, and God, just don't run over scripture, look at scripture, and God, read it, and God talk with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Read on. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram. There's a little number too, Abram. The column, what it says. Exalted father. But thy name shall be called Abraham means the father of multitudes, of many, many nations. For a father of many nations, who is doing it? God. Have I made thee? And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. What a promise. What a promise. Amen. And we just want to look into these scriptures a little bit right here. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Read that. And I will make nations of thee. Who's going to do it?
God.
And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be a God. Pause. Look at that. To be a God. Do you know we need a God?
Yes.
Not wood and stone. But a living God. The true God. Is he your God tonight?
Yes.
Do you know your God?
Yes.
The God of Abraham. That's my God.
Yes.
Jehovah, the true and a living God. He said to be a God unto thee. And to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Look, who's going to do it?
God.
The land wherein thou art a stranger. All the land of Canaan. For an everlasting. Now remember, he's making a covenant. And now it's explained. He's making an everlasting covenant. Amen? And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, not just a part of it, but all. Now, God promised it. No one can take it away. This is an everlasting covenant. It's binding forever. I will make an everlasting covenant with you and give you the land of Canaan for an everlasting
possession.
See, an everlasting covenant. But to fulfill this, they need an everlasting land. An everlasting inheritance. Wherein the land wherein thou art a stranger, verse 8, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be
their God.
I'm your God, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, read on, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. There's going to be many generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Every male child at that time would be circumcised. Today, we are not circumcised in the flesh, but we are circumcised in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's the circumcision of the heart that's made without hands. God gives you that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he shall circumcise the flesh of your skin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. You see, notice, he that is born in the house or bought with money, or even a stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Okay, so God made the covenant with them Then further down, he told that Sarah would, as you go on, would have a child. And this child would be in Isaac, would the seed, the promise be. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear a son indeed. This is Isaac. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Look how God naming Abraham, naming Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. But what you ought to see tonight is that your salvation is sure. You don't have to worry sitting there and wondering, am I saved? Am I going to be in the kingdom of God? When God does something, it's forever. It's lasting, it's binding. And verse, is it 19? And God said, Sarah, thy wife, Genesis 17, verse 19, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. You know, if we let God, if we just let God work in our lives, he put everything right. And he says that, and with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed, is it verse 19? After him. Then you get, he picks it up in Romans 9, if we have time, Romans 9, chapter 9. Then Ishmael, remember he had his son Ishmael? Okay. God also blessed Ishmael. But the promise and the covenant was in Isaac. See, here's what we don't do. Today, we don't take a lot of time to study the Bible. We run over the scriptures. We don't settle down. If we're going, many times we go into new areas of the scripture, we get tired, we get bored. But this is what our life is about. This is the most important thing to know the Word of God. You see the same Bible that you don't have time for? You might read a little verse here, a verse there. You need it. You need to know the Word of God. My people are destroyed because they don't know the Bible, a lack of knowledge. Amen. We don't know the promises that God made to our father Abraham. I mean, we're Gentiles. But God made promises that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. That includes us, the Gentile nation. And tonight we are blessed because God made promises. So on the day of Pentecost, or in Cornelius' house, that was not an accident that the Gentiles came in. And when the Gentiles heard that God was sending the gospel among them, they were glad. Because it was prophesied that in Abraham would all nations be blessed. And tonight, the same God that Abraham worshiped and loved, the same God who is Abraham's God, Jehovah, is our God. This is our God. The same God that Abraham worshiped tonight. The Lord God of Abraham is our God tonight. And you remember, let's go forward now, because all of this was done by faith. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and help me there, it says, by faith, Abraham. Find that part where Abraham, we know that Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, his faith was counted for righteousness. But go in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to follow me. Where It's speaking about Abram. What verse?
Verse 8.
Look at verse 8. Let's touch that right now. Verse 8. By faith. By faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. You know, a lot of us, we want the inheritance before we obey. Lord, you bless me, and then I'll bless you. You give me, and then I'll give you. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You're going to wait a long time. You have that attitude about you. But when the Lord begins to bless me, then I'm going to bless you. You're going to wait a long time. Because you have to sow seeds first. Before you reap an harvest. The law is give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So back in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. We were touching a little bit of those things a while ago. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land that he would show him. And he had to get out of Ur of the Chaldees and go, otherwise he would not receive the promise. He would after receive for an inheritance. What did he do? There's a word there.
Obey.
Do you understand that? To obey is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
If you want something from God, you obey God.
Amen.
You obey the word of God. When Abraham was called to go into a land that God would show him, by faith, he obeyed. And he went out. Not knowing. Whither he went. He didn't know. But he trusted in God. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, if God says that from before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. You have not seen. You don't understand everything. But you believe it because God said it. Because if you cannot believe God for the past, how can you believe God for the future? When God said you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that takes faith. When God says to you, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you. That takes faith.
Amen.
When the scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world, that takes faith to believe God. Now, what's the difference? You can believe that there is going to be a new heaven, and you've not seen it yet. And it's the same word predestinated because it has not yet happened.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
But there is going to be a new heaven.
Yeah.
And a new earth. John said, I saw it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Have you? But you believe it, don't it?
Amen.
So what's the difference? You believe that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
Because the first one will pass away. But you cannot believe that there was a past. When the scripture says from everlasting to
everlasting,
he's God. Now the difference between you and Abraham is that Abraham believed. Abraham believed and obeyed. And he had to have faith that God could bring everything to pass that he promised him. So Abraham believed God and he came out of where he was and obeyed God to go into what God promised. Now God promised us through Abraham to be blessed. And I'm heading down into a scripture where Abraham looked for a city. So in verse, he obeyed. Verse 9, is it? By faith. By faith. Well, back in verse 8, you see, he went out not knowing where he was going. And many times we don't know where we're going in scriptures. We don't. But he put a word in our mouth and we speak it. And the word, many times, we've not seen it yet. We've not seen it. We've not been to Mount Zion yet. But we believe by faith that we are on the right road, the right track, because he says that he's leading us to Mount Zion. Amen. And we don't believe, I mean, you know, we believe rather that if he said it, we should not doubt it. Because whatever God says is right. He's God. He's not a man. He cannot lie. Now, if God says, though your outward man perish, have no fear. Because I have another better building in heaven for you. Can't you believe that? And although you've not yet seen the building, but nobody here doubts that there's a better building. That you're working for a better building. An eternal house. If he tells you that he's going to prepare a place for you, you've not seen it. In my Father's house are many mansions. You have not seen that, have you? But you believe it because of the word. Yes. Now, if you can believe one part of God, why can't you believe all of it? If you can believe God for the future, to see that new heaven, that new earth, to have that new body, why can't you believe that in the past, before he made the heavens and the earth, he had a relationship with you? Why can't you believe that before the foundation of the world, he loves you? Amen. And he chose you. Yes. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
But Abraham believed God, and that's the difference in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. And in a strange land, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. They all three of them dwell in tabernacles. That's awesome. For shout. Look what happened. You've got to understand. They could have pitched a permanent dwelling place. But they rather chose to live as pilgrims and sojourners. Because they were passing through to a better country. They were passing through this land. This world that is to pass away. And they confessed that they were strangers, foreigners, sojourners in this world. But their citizenship was in another country. But they were citizens of heaven. You see, and what Abraham inherits, we are to inherit it. He's to inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Not necessarily this natural world. Abraham dwell in tents, and Jacob and Isaac. So if you got a tent, rejoice. Because you're a pilgrim. This world is not your home. You're a stranger and you're just passing through. But you've got a better home. You are heading for a better country. Hallelujah. He says, for he looked for a city. Let me tell you something. When you open this Bible, you're looking for the same city. When you come to church, you're not just coming to church to receive a few dollars or whatever earthly things has to give you. But you're here looking for a better country. And so what are you doing? You're searching the map. The map of the Word of God that points you. Because it's only the Word of God that points you to that heavenly country. It says, for he looked for a city. My Lord. I wonder how often every day he woke up looking for that city. Every day that he woke up, he looked for that city. And how many times Abraham saw the God of that city? Amen. How many times he saw the God and the king of that city? In so much that that same king became his seed. In so much that that same king fed him with bread and wine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
This same kid, king showed him his inheritance, took him out and said, look up there at the stars. Number them. Look at the sand of the sea. Number it. And he couldn't. He couldn't number it. But he believed God. And there's sometimes things you can't understand, but because God said it, I believe it.
Amen.
Sometimes you cannot number all the promises of God, but you believe it. Because the psalm said, if I should number all the promises and the love and the mercies of God to me, it's more than the sand of the sea. More than the sand of the sea. How great is his mercy, his faithfulness, his kindness to you. You've got to understand that God loves you with a passion. It's called an everlasting love. It's called, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Solomon said his love for us is more than the flames. The fire. A vehement fire. No water can quench it. No floods. Nothing the devil spill out of his mouth can stop the love of God that's flowing towards you. Jesus really loves us. It's an everlasting, eternal love. Eternity is a wonderful place. You say, but I can't wait to get there. But you've got to understand, we are already journeying there. From glory to glory. We are on the right track. Because if every morning you get up and begin to commune with him, you'll find out. The scripture said that if you get up in Proverbs and wait every day at his gate,
yes.
The reason why we are not getting anything because we're waiting on other gates. You're waiting at the gates of men. You're waiting at the gates of where, oh, you can't wait. Oh, I have to get this favorite evangelist coming to town. Or I can't wait to get, after church you go hear my favorite evangelist. But tonight in church you don't get nothing. Because your eyes is on men. Guess who's coming to town? My favorite preacher. And when I know when they come, I'll get blessed. But you can get blessed long before they come. Oh, yes, you can. If you ever realize that new every morning is his mercies, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, if you ever begin to realize. If you could ever realize that the best time of your day is when you wake up in the morning with Jesus. When you're walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, shouting and singing all along the day. But you've got to wait for something. And day after day, and it's not coming. You know why? Because you don't want it bad enough. But when you lift up your voice like a trumpet and begin to cry to God, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. My help cometh from the Lord. If you can begin to realize that Jesus is your only hope and love him with all your heart, love him with a passion. Tell him you love him. So he says that he looked for a city. Not just any city, but what you're looking for tonight, is there a foundation under it? He looked for a city which had foundation. Not any foundation, but that was God laid that foundation. Another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. He looked for a city. My. He searched for it. He gave his own life, all of his heart for it. Before he died, he found it. He looked for a city that had foundation. Whose? Somebody built it. I want to be in that city that only God built. There's a scripture that when Israel was going through the wilderness, they wandered in the wilderness and they found no city to dwell in. You know why? Because they were looking for another city. Here in this world, you're just passing through. So this is not your dwelling place. You have found no city to dwell in. Because there's another city that you're looking for. And you're just pilgrims in this world. Aren't you? Aren't you? This world is not your home. So when you lay your foundation deep, you're in trouble. He looked for a city which had foundation. Somebody said, if I could only get that. Oh, if I could only get that house, I'd be more happier. Get the house, you're stressed out. If I could get that brand new, I got to trade my car and get a nicer car, then I'll feel like I'm living. You just begin to die under the pressure of the bills. And you begin to miss church. What are you doing? Working overtime to pay for that car. But it's those that wait on the Lord. What's going to happen to you? What will happen to you? You renew your strength. What's going to happen? You mount up with wings as eagle. Run. Amen. Amen. Run, walk, sit, stand, whatever. And the devil cannot wear you out. I like this, don't you? One of the sweetest verses to me. He looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder, don't you feel like shouting right there? And maker is God. Jesus. This Bible is wonderful. It's amazing. And now, God promised him a city, and he also promised him inhabitants. But the problem, if there's a problem, his wife was barren. And he was past age. I mean, God has a sense of humor. You know, God has a sense of humor. Here was Elizabeth. You know, Elizabeth. It ceased to be with her. And her husband, the guy was too old. And they end up with a son. Past age. They ended up with a son called John. Here's a little girl. Never knew a man, a virgin. She has not even known a man, and she ended up with a child called Jesus. So God made the barren old woman and the dried up man to produce a prophet. Oh, God. Don't you love God?
Yes.
And then a little girl that never knew a man to produce a savior.
Yes.
To produce a messiah. To produce a conqueror.
Yes.
The one that created heaven and earth. All things was made by him. How could God made the king of the universe to fit in the womb of a virgin? Only God knows. And the same God that did that for Mary has made the same king to fit in your heart. Hallelujah. He's amazing God. He's a wonderful God. This church should get on fire. Everybody should get on fire. Hallelujah. What amazing God he is. How can this thing be?
Yes, that's right.
Seen I know not a man.
Amen.
No wonder Zechariah went dumb. How could he believe that? The man was old, past, ceased to be. God did it with Abraham. Brought forth nations. And out of that, God took a Messiah. What an amazing God. Out of a dry tree, or dried up trees, Abraham and his wife, look what God did. Brought kings out of their loins. And look what God did. God brought giant killing David out of their loins. Jesus. What an awesome God he is tonight. Look what God did. Out of the loins of Abraham, brought forth a Messiah, and that little tree, God planted a seed, and it grew into a tree. And they cut it down and nailed the Savior in it. And by this act, which was foolish to the world, it looks foolish to the world, but by that act, God was able to save the world, you and I, by the cross. By the cross of Jesus Christ. What a awesome God. Whatever he has promised to you, he's able to do it. You don't have to doubt. Get discouraged. You live for God. Make sure you repent of all your sins and come to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Don't doubt him. When you repent of your sins, God will forgive you. Tell him you're sorry. Don't hide it. Say, God, I'm messed up. You know me. I've done it. That was me. I've done it. Be like David. Be like all everybody. They all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the difference is some repent. I don't care what you said about predestination. You have to repent. And ask forgiveness. And believe the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross of Calvary. If you don't do it. How are you going to blame God? See, God's not willing that any should perish, but there's something that you have to do. You have to confess your sins and forsake your sins. Job asked a question, beautiful question, in the, where is it? Where is it? Who can bring a clean thing? Is it the 21? Look at it. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And then Job should have stopped there. But he went on and said, not one. But notice here. Get that verse for me. Job answered and said, what did he say? Hear diligent my speech and let this be your consolation. Suffer me to speak that I may speak, and after that, is that what I want? I have spoken, mock on. Verse 4?
Job
14. Go to Job 14. Says?
4.
Job 14 and verse 4. Just go down to 14:4. Here it is. Here it is. Who? A question. Can anybody answer that? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? You and I, we are unclean, born in sin, shaping iniquity. We're born unclean. So we have no right to salvation. We have no demand on salvation. It's the mercy of God that saves us, not our righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done. All have sinned. We have no claim. It's the mercy of God. There's nothing that you did or I did that we're entitled to it. We don't have a right to it. All unclean. Do you understand? We were all unclean. Romans tells us that too. And the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. In Adam we died. And Job says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Question, who?
Not one.
And he said, not one. None of us could do it. I mean, none of us could do it. You couldn't change yourself. We could not come to God because of our righteousness. Somebody said, but I came to God willingly by my choice. The natural man doesn't want God. The natural man does not seek God. So you see, we are Abraham's seed, not by flesh, but by faith. Because the natural seed, many of them reject it. But we as Gentiles receive it by faith. So we became the heirs by faith in Jesus Christ. And before you could ever be a in the promised covenant of Abraham as a Gentile, you have to believe Christ. We only get in through Christ.
Right.
Only through Jesus Christ. Because the promises were made. So tonight we stand through Christ. So Job said, not one. But Jesus Christ came. Okay, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit. And in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah cried out, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. But what happened to Isaiah? God took a coal from off of the altar and touched his lips and said, now you're purged, you're clean. When that coal from off of the altar touches lips, he was clean. And Jesus, that coal from off the altar.
Hallelujah.
He came and he said, now you're clean by the words that I've spoken unto you. Jesus Christ came, and you who were sometimes darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were unclean. We were dark. But Christ dug us and brought us up, as Psalms 40, out of an horrible pit. He brought us out of an unclean state. When Adam fell, we died in Adam. and Adam all died. But Ephesians 2 says, now you and he quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past we walk according to the course of this world. In other words, we were children of wrath, children of the devil. But God. I said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, unclean, we were leprosy in sin. What did God do? Send his son and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin. He brought out of this unclean state, the fallen state of the first Adam, he brought up a new man. He raised us up and he placed us in a clean place. That's in Jesus Christ. Nobody. I said nobody but our God. Nobody but our Jesus. Nobody but our Savior. That's why tonight you should have the fire of God in your soul. You should love him. You should feel a passion of God inside of your soul. Only Christ, only Jesus. It's time to let the Holy Ghost quicken you out of that dead state. Otherwise that flesh will come and just sit down. I don't want God. Don't respond to God. You hear the word of God and don't respond to God. But he brings us up out of the mire and the clay. And set our feet on a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. He touched us with the word. He washed us. And because he washed us, we are clean. Tonight, we are clean. We are clean. And he said in Isaiah, come now. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. And red as crimson, I'll make them smooth as wool. Jesus can do it. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Nobody but Jesus. Who can change your life? Turn you away from darkness. Turn us away from the power of Satan. Open our eyes. Give us the power of God. No one but Jesus. Let me close here and go to Romans chapter 15. Go to Romans chapter 15. And I want to, it's a few verses there that I want tonight. I try to find Romans chapter 15. Speaking about the Gentiles. Speaking about the Gentiles. Romans 15 verse 9. Okay. Let me start at verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also receive us, to the glory of God. See what he done? He received us from what? What did he receive it from? The fall. To the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What promises? I've just been reading some of them. The promises that he made unto our father Abraham, right? What was the promises? Look at what's in the book for you. Look at what is in the book for you. Who can promise you anything else? Who can promise you anything better? Well, I'm trying to hear more because you're not listening. You're closed. You're not listening. Your ears are closed to the word of God. I'm showing you from the word of God. Is this good enough or is not? You say, I've got to have something more. What? What else do you want? I'm trying to show you the promises. Amen. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Gentiles sitting out there. Have you been glorifying God for his mercy? Gentiles. Can you lift your hands up? I'm talking to you, Gentiles. Can you raise your hands and glorify God? Hey, hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and praise Him? That's what it's about. That's why He saved you. Here's your job. You're looking for a job? You've got a job for all eternity. You don't have to write to any preacher, get no paper, no leaves, no nothing. This is your job. Fill out the application, please. That the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercies. And His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Are you doing it every morning? As it is written. For this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing and sing unto thy name. He did. And that's prophesied from the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. You can read that on your own. Notice now, he did it, he said it, but twice for emphasis. So nobody, even you and I, we are slow. Half of the time we are asleep. It takes a long time to even get our hands up, even with our nose. And again, he said. What did he say?
Rejoice.
Rejoice, ye Gentiles. Come on. You raise your hands a while ago. Can you do it again? Can you clap your hands? Can you praise Him? Again. Rejoice, ye Gentiles. With His people. Hallelujah. Woo! My God. Is that the third time? Three times? What? And again, praise the Lord! Notice, all ye Gentiles and laud Him. What does that mean? Laud. The same. Praise. And laud Him. In other words, go all over Him. Get excited. Love Him. And laud Him, all ye people. Jesus. Wow, look at that again. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root. Who is that root? Jesus Christ of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I can't take it. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Oh, you ought to shout. What a hope. What a hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, like Abraham, that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me read that again. Now, right now. Now. What are you waiting for? It's yours. It's yours. You're reading your will. You're reading what you're... Well, let me see what... It's not the preacher. It's you. You ought to get excited and read it. Now.
Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now. Now.
the God of hope, not the preacher, not a miracle towel or shofar blowing and on. I'm not against none of those things. But those are secondary things. You've got the real deal in the Bible. This is yours. And now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. In other words, you turn them from darkness to light. You open their eyes that they will offer up a pure sacrifice. Not idols, not wood, not stone. They will know the true God, the living God. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertaining to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought in me or wrought by me. I'm not going to try to be somebody else and come and brag about somebody else healing or what God used another minister for do. I'm satisfied with who I am, with what God give me. I'm satisfied, Paul said, that I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. To make Jesus, look at it again. I'm satisfied to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherwards by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it had pleased them of Macedonia, Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are in the Philippines, Jerusalem. How did I get that in there, man? It had pleased them very well. And the debtors, they are. You see, when people say, well, I'm not going to give. Or somebody stop you from giving. You don't understand. Are you afraid to give? For the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. See, God believe in that. God believe even your pastor. I give you spiritual things, you give carnal. But how many don't give? You don't even remember. You just take it for granted. You get all this work. God bless you, pastor. It was wonderful. You're going to be very poor. Because you're not generous. Here it is. Give spiritual things. Did you receive spiritual things tonight?
Yeah.
But you take it and walk away. So therefore, you don't appreciate it sometimes. Because it doesn't cost you nothing. It doesn't cost you a thing. You don't give when you have it alone. You give when you have to make a sacrifice.
Amen.
You give when you make a sacrifice. See? Look, there it is up there. See? It had pleased them verily. And their debtors are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty, notice it's a duty, is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Can you read? Oh, I just go and I forget that. Oh, no, you can't forget this. This cry out, and the walls bear witness, the benches bear witness. Well, you see, I got so much responsibility. They had too. And many of them were very poor. The Philippian church gave out of their deep poverty. Not just poverty, but deep poverty. And yet, they gave. And then you know the word that we all claim that don't belong to most of us? My God shall supply all my needs. Talk about the Philippians. And you got to have that spirit that they had. Out of deep poverty. But you don't give, you know. Don't even talk about that because he's not you. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You don't do nothing. You don't give. You don't give. Are you claiming that scripture? Oh my goodness. How blind can we? He said if you give your carnal things because you receive spiritual things. That's what I said. Did it say that up there in your Bible? And that's it? Any more scriptures? When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, after I'm finished my work, I will come by you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in prayers to God for me. You're supposed to pray for the pastor. Pray that God will bless him, give him a word Wednesday night. But you just come and sit down and you want to hear something new. You never pray for him. Look what you do. You don't give him carnal. You don't bless. You don't pray. But you want new revelations. My goodness. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He had a service. We've got to go a long ways. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Amen.